as we enter this this final Zman, this critical crescendoing home stretch of our Chazaras Hashanah, we're not going weiter in terms of the Limud in Maseches Chulin. In terms of Maseches Chulin, our focus is going to be, as we've been discussing for weeks, our focus for this point on Maseches Chulin is vigorous, vigorous Chazara, broad and deep Chazara. But even as our mornings are primarily dedicated to ambitious Chazara of Maseches Chulin, Amsachim, and the Halacha Be'im, we're going to be surging forward in terms of opening up a new limud. This is the 10-minute Masechtas that we've been discussing. Mirtz Hashem will have a chance for two, maybe even three per morning, beginning and the end of morning Seder, to highlight the limud with brief introductions to Masechtas. You're not going to learn all of Maseches Negayim or all of Maseches Uksin in 10 minutes, but to be able to walk out every day with orientation in terms of the framework and the basic concepts of several Masechtas, I think is a great treat with which to an added gem to add to this closing Zman of our year. We're going to be focusing on Seder Taras. Seder Taras is a part of Torah that for many of us is spooky or scary, and you come across it and we back off. In large part, Taras is hard, but in large part really because it's unfamiliar. And when everything's unfamiliar, when you feel like you're on terra infirma, so sometimes we back away. So hopefully over the next couple of days and weeks, we'll be getting comfortable with the basic map, the basic framework, the concepts and the language and the structure of Seder Taras to demystify and to begin to feel comfortable. As we come across a sugya that involves Taras, we'll dive in. And if we have not yet, maybe this will make Seder Taras, pulling the Mishnayos off the shelf, be carving ourselves to that limud, something more accessible and something more inviting. One of the unique things about Seder Taras structurally is it is the only of the six Sedarim, it is the only Seder that is actually has an organized introduction. Moed just begins with Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Hotzah b'Shabbos is the opening topic of Mishnayos Moed. Nezikin begins with Bava Kamma, one of introduction to one of the details of Nezikin. Right? Zeran begins with the Kriyashma. But Seder Taras actually begins with an introduction. The opening Masechta, as is the case in almost every Seder, the Masechtos in Taras are arranged in size order from largest to smallest. So the opening Masechta in Seder Taras is Maseches Kelim, 30 Prakim, but only 29 of them are about Kelim. We'll get soon to what that means to be about Kelim. But Prakim Beis through Lamed are actually about the topic of Maseches Kelim. The first parak is not about Kelim at all. The first parak actually is an introduction to Seder Taras. I think it's appropriate that we should also open with an introduction to Seder Taras. All those who have learned Bava Kamma, which is all of you last year, have had at least a little bit of a flavor. But when we think about the topic of Tumah and Tahara, so the limud usually breaks down into three major sections. And as we work our way through the Masechtas of Seder Taras, they usually fall into one of the three major sections, one of the three major categories. Thinking about the Avos HaTumah, the sources of Tumah, and thinking about transmission, which things can catch Tumah and how. And number three are the Darkei HaTahara, how an item which is Tumah might be able to emerge from Tumah back to Tahara. And let's explain each of those. The way the Torah describes in Parsha Shmini and elsewhere, there's a list of items, a list which actually appears as the opening topic in Seder Taras, the opening topic in Maseches Kelim, the first half of the first paragraph of Kelim. The Torah gives us a long list of items which are Tameh because of what they are. They didn't catch the Tumah for anywhere else. They are Tameh by definition. So the most classic example is a mace, a human corpse is tame. Not because it the Malach HaMavis made it tame, not because it caught the tumah from anywhere else. By definition, if it's a mace, it is tame. If a person is a mitzora, he is tame. Not because someone or something else made him tame. By definition, if you are an adam mitzora, you are tame. Certain dead animals, as we've seen repeatedly over the course of Maseches Chulin, certain dead animals are tame. An animal, behema that died without proper shechita, is a nevela. Certain small animals that die, the shmona shratzim, they are tame. We touch a little bit on a bird that dies without proper shechita, nivlas oftar. These are all items. It's not that the bullet was metame it, but by definition, if you have a person or an item that fits into one of the categories of avos hatuma, and that's the term, an av in the sense of a source of tuma, these are things which are tame by definition. They are tame because of who or what they are. And the opening few mishnayos of the Seder give us a list of the avos hatuma. Those who remember Daf Beis of Bava Kama, there's actually a quote there for the first couple of words of the opening mission of Maseches Kelim, Avos HaTuma, Asheretz HaShech VaZema, Zera, Tmei Mes, and so on and so forth. And the Mishnayos present there a graduated list, stepping up of the different Avos HaTuma, from the most kal to the most chamor. From those which are least tame to those which are most tame, specifically in terms of as you think about each Av HaTumah, and there are several Masechtas which are dedicated to particular Avos HaTumah, we'll see Negarim is about the Mitzora. For instance, Aholos is about Tumas Meis. Nida is about the Nida. As we look at the various Avos HaTumah, so one major question you look at is, how do you define? Is this a mace? Is he a mitzora? Is she a nida? That's one major question. In the world of avos hatuma is defining whether someone or something is an avatuma or not. The second major question in the world of avos hatuma is the unique dinam of each one, specifically how each one conveys tuma. And that's what the opening mishnayos in the Maseches Kelim highlight, is some dvarim tumeim convey tumah to other items only through contact, only through maga, only through touching. Others might convey, that's the first list, those which are only metame b'maga, sheret, shechva zera, and so forth. The only way to become tame from the shechva zera is you actually touch. The only way to become tame from the dead mouse, from the sheret, is you actually touched it. Other avos tumah have a broader arsenal, a broader array of ways in which they spread their tumah with others. Some avos hatumah are metame not only b'maga, but also b'masa. If you carry them, and we've discussed that in the past, early in the year, learning Maseches, the first parak of Chulin, that the nevela, nivlas behema, I have beef that did not have a proper shechita, so it is metame both b'maga and b'masa. So that means that if it's wrapped in plastic in the supermarket, and I pick up non-kosher meat, non-kosher beef, so I pick it up. I'm not touching the meat because it's covered in plastic, but if I pick it up, if I just put my hand on the plastic, nothing happened. If I pick up the package, that's not maga, but nivlas behema is not only tame b'maga, but also b'masa. I picked it up, and now it's a metame. Other avos hatumah have additional ways of being metame. When we get to aholos, we'll talk about the fact that tumas mace specifically is transmitted by ohel. A mitzora has particular ways of transmitting tumah. We discussed earlier in the year, this comes up much later in the Seder, in Maseches Taharas, the nivlas of tahar, a Purdue chicken, is actually not necessarily metame b'maga, but it has its own unique way of being metame. It's metame abeis ablia. It's metame when you swallow it. Okay, so again, the first major section, the world of tumah and tahara, are avos hatumah. And there's a list of different items that the Torah tells us, the Psukim tell us, these items are tame in and of themselves, ipso facto, because of who or what they are. And for each tame, one major question is, what qualifies it as a mace, as a mitzora, as a sheretz, and so on and so forth? The other major question is, how does it transmit the tumah? And several of the Masechta of Taharas are dedicated to particular avos hatumah. The second section of the world of Taharas is a question of mekabelei tumah. What are the things that are not tuma in and of themselves, but can catch the tuma from an avha tuma, as we've been saying, through maga, through masa, what have you, depending on the particular avha tuma. And so I touch the dead mouse. I'm not a sheretz. The dead mouse is a sheretz. But I became tuma because of maga with the sheretz. I was mekabel tuma. I caught, literally, I caught the tuma. Sometimes I could even be makabel tuma, as the Gemara discusses in Bava Kamma Daf Beis. Sometimes I can even be makabel tuma from another makabel tuma. And that's a further discussion. You touched the sheretz, now you became tame, and then you touched the salad, now the salad became tame. That came in Bava Kamma, that came up early in the year in the first parak of Chulin. So the second major section of the world of Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara is the world of makabele tuma. There are four categories, as we've discussed earlier in the year, four categories of things that are makabele tuma: Adam, Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim, people and Kalim, devices or tools, food and drink, and a major discussion in this second section, the world of makabele tuma, is what qualifies each one to be a makabele tuma. Which people are makabele tuma? Which types of kalim are makabel tuma? And that's obviously the topic of Maseches Kalim. And which types of food and drink are makabel tuma? And there are several Maseches later in the Seder that are dedicated to that, particularly Machshirin and Oxen. We'll get to the details there. But that's that second section of Tumah Tahara. The first was Avos HaTuma, where the focus on the definition of each category of Avos HaTuma and how each Avos HaTuma transmits tuma. Makabel tuma, Adam Kalim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. And discussion for each one, what does it take to be ro'oi, mukshar, lekabel tuma? And finally, the third section is darchei hatahara. How do you remove tuma? Now, not all avos, many avos hatuma are stuck in their tuma forever, and some are not. So for instance, a mace, there's no way for the mace to become natame, other than decomposition. And no way for the nevela to become non-tame. It is permanently tame. But if a person is a Zav, if a person is a Yoledes, if a person is a Mitzora, so there are Darchei Hatara, the Psukim talk about, Tazria Mitzora, and the Mishnayos talk about as well. So some Avos HaTumah have Darchei Hatara, most Mekabele Tumah have Darchei Hatara, typically through Mikvah. Sometimes you need something else in addition to Mikvah, and obviously, that's going to be the focus of Maseches Mikvos, and it's going to be a big focus at the end of Maseches Negaim, and all of Maseches Para are dedicated to the Darchei Hatara. As we said before, many Avos HaTuma are permanently Tame. Some Avos HaTuma do have a root to Tahara. In terms of Mekabele Tuma, most Mekabele Tuma can become Tar, usually with Mikvah plus. And we'll get to that in Mikvos and in Tful Yom. There are some Makabli Tumah that also become permanently Tameh, particularly Klei Cheres. So that's the overall structure of Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. And Mitzvah, next time, at the end of this morning, we're going to dive into our first Masechta, which is Maseches Kalim.